Corinthians 13. We're working our way through this love chapter. As you're getting there, everybody say all. Okay, oh wow. Everybody say all. Okay, let's try it in Greek. Maybe you'll be better that way. Everybody say pas. Oh, you're better in Greek than English. Who knew? I'll switch up the way I preach. This is the all week. If you're looking at 1 Corinthians 13, we're in chapter 7. This week, it says love, well, the way it says it this way, it says love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's that all word, always. If you were to read it in the, let's see which one I got up, extra special version, the ESV version, it says love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. This is the all week. As we press into this, we remember that God is love. And one of the questions I want to ask you is do you really buy into what this is saying about God? That it's all. I went with a friend of mine for dinner, and she looked at the menu, and we were meeting over, well, I can't tell you that until Thanksgiving time. We were meeting on our mission for next year and where we're going to launch that out and where we're looking at some potential stuff. But she looks at the menu, and she just goes, I want all the things. Are you with me? See, the question we want to ask today is, do we believe that God works through all the things, through pass? Or have we regulated it that God works through some of the things? God works this way, and we have it programmed because we know how God works, and then there's all of this stuff that God won't work through. We got to be real careful in this. We got to be careful on two fronts when we start talking the alls. First front is we got to be really careful to own our opinion and to value, hey, this is a way that God worked mightily in my life. God shaped my life through this thing. And so to me, it is very holy. It is very sacred. Can God work through a tree in a field? Most certainly. But be very, very careful that you don't make your experience with God's holiness, the God itself. Right? We can end up doing that, where we make a God of these other things. How do we know we're doing it? Well, a big key is when you go, God's only working through this thing. And these things, they ain't holy. I'm amazed. First off, I'm proud of my heritage. I know I joke about it sometime, but I'm allowed to criticize my family. You're not. I'm allowed to criticize my denomination because they're my family. And I am so proud to be an LCMS Lutheran. Please, 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 when I joke about, somebody asked me last week, they're like, man, when you said she was more LCMS than you, what's that mean? I'm joking. It's my family. We can rib each other. I'm proud of that heritage. But I'll also criticize it because it's my family. You know what we've done sometimes? We go, this worship style, this is holy and this is sacred. And to that, I say yes. The liturgy, it's holy and it's sacred. Yes! Contemporary worship, it's holy and it's sacred. And to that, I say yes, because when it comes to worship, I'm embracing the whole thing. But I have a friend, and man, he never experienced faith until he walked into a church and saw the pastor in full robes and regalia swinging a censer filled with incense, and he smelled the smells and he heard the bells and he heard them chanting in a way that it moved in his soul, and God used that thing to shape his life. And it is for that reason holy. And then there's people that they come to a church like Promise and they hear contemporary praise, and for the first time ever in life, they feel moved and they lift up their hands or they sing or they kneel and they go, wow, this contemporary worship, it is holy. The answer is yes. God works in all things. Are you with me? So when I was reading scripture this week, it said, don't call something unholy that God has called holy. I got to be honest, I love when we read scripture in church because we read it flat. Do not call anything unholy which the Lord has called holy. I mean, that's how it is when I throw the MP3 into my car. And the man in black, Johnny Cash himself, is reading it from the King James Version. Which, by the way, I'll be honest, that's the only way you should really ever read scripture, is just pop in Johnny Cash, because it's holy. But you know how I think, the person wrote it? I think the person wrote it and he said, don't you dare call something unholy, which the Lord our God has called holy. You don't know how God is working in people. You don't know that thing that you're criticizing is reverberating with somebody's soul. So maybe, just maybe, as we're entering this holy week and we see love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, as we press into the all, I don't expect an overnight change, but maybe, just maybe, we can go a click more mystery and a click less cynicism. A click more hope and a click less patronization. As we enter into this holy week, what happens when we start saying, man, God is working in ways I never saw and I never thought? Are you with me? I'm not saying, by the way, that if you dig something and it reverberates with your soul, that you have to try the other thing too. Okay? That's the all part. Man, this text is fun. So as we look at this, then we got this other word in it. It says, love always protects. If you're in your scriptures and you're looking this up in 1 Corinthians, that word, we're going in the ESV and in the NIV, it says, love bears all things. I didn't put a PowerPoint together because this was the only picture I would have put up it, the love bear. Wouldn't it be cute, a little love bear? No, how do we get that love bears all things? Love always protects. What do we do with this word? It's even more confusing in the Greek. It's the word it's stego, which if I ever had a son, stego. My wife just gave me the look, we ain't having a son. If you ever let me name one of your sons, Stego. Man, that's a great, Miles, I should have given you a baptism name. Stego. And starting for the Philadelphia Eagles. Stego, it's this amazing word. It means, I want to get this one right. It means, sometimes it means to bear, to come up under, to, right? So when you put something down and it's holding something up, that's what it means to bear, that love bears all these things. If you don't know the liturgical history, this is a day of revolution. It's the day where Jesus was walking in to Jerusalem, and he rode in on a donkey, which is amazing because that's what King David rode in on. All these other people, they rode in on their white steeds. Jesus chose the donkey, a symbol of humility, but also the symbol of his lineage. He didn't forget where he came from. And the people saw Jesus and they yelled, "Viva la revolution!" Because they were French. Wouldn't the story be different if it played out that way? No, what they did, see, we see it as this praise and worship. No, they said, "God, save us! Hosanna!" Don't for a second think that was a praise song. They were looking at the Romans, the people who had captured them, the people who were oppressing them, and they were saying, "We want a political revolution. God, save us." They ripped palm branches off the street and waved them and set them down so that he could ride in. Do we need Jesus to save us? Yes. But don't miss the mark and think it's a political revolution. Don't miss the mark and think that he's going to save us through a mighty overthrow of an empire. No, but that storge word, they ripped off the branches and Jesus walked on them. They were under him. They were bearing the weight of that donkey. The interesting thing is the word is also sometimes translated to cover. How can you bear and cover? This is the same word where it says Jesus' blood on Good Friday later this week. Just in case you don't miss it, I'm giving you a preview. On Good Friday, we're talking always hopes. But cover is Jesus' blood covers all of our sins. Cover is when the grenade goes off and the soldier throws his body over someone else to cover them and protect them from the shrapnel. And yes, Jesus did that too. He covered us from the effect of our sin. He bled and died for us. Not because, by the way, not because we understand it. Not because we deserve it. Miles, I guarantee, does not understand what just happened to him. He doesn't understand that he now has the identity of Christ. His brain doesn't go, "I can cognitively ascend to these things, and so now I buy into them, and that's why God loves me." Same way, he doesn't even understand how much you guys love him. But you don't love him because he's strong or because he holds his head up or because he reaches right in the baptism and baptizes himself. No, you love him because he's yours. And that's how God the Father loves us. That's why God bears us up, holds us up. That's why God covers us. See, the way I translate this, if something's barren and something's, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say barren, bearing. If something's holding up and something's covering, I translate it this way: love infiltrates. Love gets in every single pore and works through everything to call us back to the way that it's supposed to be. Anybody got a little, that makes sense then. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Does that give anybody else a little bit of hope? When you look at the person that's struggling and because of that struggle, they've left their faith. Anybody got somebody like that in their life? No? You all need more friends. And I can give you about a dozen people that life has just happened. We were talking about this in the strategic plan. In Fort Wayne, I am hard-pressed to find somebody that that's a true non-Christian. I find two types of people right now. I find people that are Christians and people that were Christians. People that have heard the story and they were raised in it and they're still in it now, or people that were raised in it and heard the story and they left. They don't want anything to do with it. But can I tell you what I've seen? I've seen that God takes this thing and infiltrates it. That God takes the messy and the icky and the gross and the detestable, the things that if I gave you the details in here, you'd write me even more emails and go, "Pastor, don't go there." And we don't go there in public because it hurts too bad. But this is what I've seen, that love always infiltrates. It works through all things to call us back to God. So what's calling you back? Right? Because it's not just those who are walking in the faith and those who have left it. That's a false paradigm. My week looks a lot more like this, where I'm strong in my faith and that thing happens and I need to be reminded of his grace and his mercy because I forget when it gets tough. Where's that place that you need to be called back? Need to be reminded that just like Miles was loved before he understood and will be loved every day of his life. Sorry, buddy, you're being the like sermon message this morning. You need to be reminded of the same way. You need to be reminded and called back to that grace that started you in this journey. Well, it's right here. It's Jesus' very body and blood calling you back, whispering. Because, right, if it's just the whisper that you're hearing right now, reminding you, "I love you," you're going to forget all the more easy. If I just text my wife, "I love you," but never do anything, she's going to start questioning my love. She won't, because she's like solid. But this is God saying, "I'm not just going to whisper, 'I love you.' I'm calling you back. I'm going to shout it. I'm going to let you feast on my very body and blood. I'm going to let you taste who I am in, with, and under this bread and this wine. As you drink this wine, the cup of celebration, remember that God's whispering, 'Come back. I still love you. You're forgiven.'" So we pause and we let that sink into our guts as we prepare our hearts to receive this gift. On the night when Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And then the same way also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." We invite the distribution team to come forward. And as they're coming forward, here's how it works. If you need to sit and meditate on that for a little bit, feel free. If you want to come up right away, feel free. This is at your own pace. If you're sitting here going, "I have no clue what this all means," if I could just encourage you, come up and receive a blessing. Come up and let us pray for you. But talk to somebody about what this communion thing means before you leave today. And just abstain for today. We invite you forward, for all things are ready.